Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me.
Good evening. You're on the air with Waking Up with Linda Mac Shan. It is Think Thursday, and today for our show we have a special guest. And when she gets through, you'll have a lot to think about out there. You know, I know we had a victorious day. I know I did. But, you know, determination is the key here. And when your determination changes, everything else will begin to move in the direction you desire. The moment you resolve to be victorious, every nerve and fiber in your being will immediately orient itself toward your success. But on the other hand, if you think this is never going to work out, then at that instant, every cell in your being will be deflated and give up the fight. And then everything really will move in the direction of failure. So, you know, we're not about failure here. We're about education. We stress unification and the importance of collaboration. I'm going to tell you, go to that website, 2020census.com. It takes 10 minutes to fill out that form. Study the candidates very, very closely. You know, people tell you to vote, but you really want to know who you're voting for. So that means you must study the initiatives. Start your yes and no's on that list. We want to place persons in the seats that understand our language, okay? You want to have somebody up there that's going to represent you and represent you properly. We all know about the hidden treasures that are in the world, because we're all hidden treasures here. But tonight we have a guest that's going to come on with us, and she's going to let you see the combination and the blend of education, unification, and collaboration. But before we get started, I just want to give you a little bit to shake your head to, or your fingers to, or whatever you want to do to, because we want to get everything going. We want to get everything started, and we're going to get ready for this good information.
Natural.
Yes, I needed to play that, every woman, because the lady that we have coming on with us this evening, Aileen Brown Harris, she's the author of the book, Aileen Chevron's First African-American Scientist. She's coming on with us to share and care. You know, as I stated, we all know about our hidden treasures. We're all hidden treasures, but tonight we're going to hear from the hidden diamond. Good evening, Ms. Harris. Are you on the line with us with Waking Up with Linda McShann?
Good afternoon, Ms. Machine. How are you today?
I am wonderful. I am so excited and appreciative. I know you're busy, busy, busy for you to take out your time and come on with us and share and care with us. We're ready to hear everything. I have a few questions, but I don't know if you want me to start with a question or if you have an intro that you would like to do. But before we do that, I'd like to say to the listeners, in reading about Ms. Harris and how she got started, there was something that just kept sticking out with me. And number one, she's an inspiration to everybody whose life she touches, and you'll figure that out when she completes today because she will have touched your life. But it was a quote that her mother told her, and her mother told her to reach for the sky, and whatever you achieve will not be taken from you. Again, I'm going to state that quote again. Reach for the sky, and whatever you achieve will not be taken from you. And I just wanted to bring that up because that is so true, and it just touched my heart, and I just wanted to ring out there like the power bell, Ms. Harris, and I hope you don't mind me jumping in on that in the beginning, but I just had to say that. So I'm going to leave it all up to you now. How do you want to get us going here? How are you going to share and care this evening?
Well, I'll be happy to start off answering that question, and then I can move on into the book. One of the things that my mother felt like that with her having a fifth grade education, she knew that it was important that we did not grow up like her. So every day she told us, you have to make plans. You have to keep pushing. Anytime that you feel that you don't know what's going on, you ask questions. But she said you have no choice to do that because my mother taught herself how to be a nurse's aide. And by just reading a horoscope every day and asking questions on the job. So she was a nurse's aide, and after so many years, she was taking blood pressures and administering medication to people. So she was a good example for us, and she just was a no-nonsense mother. You have to do better than she did.
Okay. I can go along with that and this question. And once we hear you, we'll understand that you listen very, very closely. The question that I had here, you were the first African-American scientist at Chevron Texaco. And that was back in the 60s. That was back when everything was moving. So you were making that change before the changes were being made. The question is, how was it as a black female to work at Chevron at that time? That's the question that my listener wanted me to ask you. And her name is Gloria.
Okay. Thank you for that question, Miss Gloria. It was very, very difficult. But in everything that I did, I just remember what my mother told me. She said, you can never give up. But when I first took the job with Chevron, they gave us a test, and they put all the ladies in this room, all nationalities, and say, okay, what do you have to lose? Take this test, because at that time, with affirmative action, they needed to hire a female and black. But at the time, I was not aware of that. The guy just wanted us to take the test. So when I got into that room and took that test, and 2 days later, he said, Ms. Harris, White at the time, come to my office. And he said, you know, you made 170 on this. It's the highest in Chevron history.
Okay.
And so they did not want me to leave. So I just learned what my mother said, that there's a certain protocol. You have to play the game in order to survive. And her other thought was that you never let them see you sweat. So there were so many things that I did not know, but I forced myself to learn those things, even if I had to take paperwork home at night and try to catch up.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I was reading about that 170, and if I may interject on that, and from that beginning, that moved you into your first position as after receiving that school when they brought you in. You were not like the person in the lab that was rinsing out the test tubes. You were testing jet fuel. You were testing, I think it said, a fuel for commercial jets and gasoline for small aircraft and testing for special fluid for the submarine ships. That was serious stuff. So when we say scientist, you knew what you were doing. And from there, once you got started, going in, the second question is, how many blacks were at Chevron at the time? You were the first African female, but were there any more blacks there beside yourself?
Oh, yes. There was other blacks working there, but they were either in the mail room or some other type of position. They never had a black woman to work in their laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
Okay.
And the entire time that I was there, they never replaced me. Just put it that way.
Okay. You know, they never replace you, because I don't know too many people that can go sit down and take a test and score 170 on. They probably couldn't replace you at that time to go in. And then when you, after that traveled in 1972, then you transferred into El Segundo plant and did many, many, many things there, you know. From going into the lab tech to lead tech to the lab supervisor to moving that money, because that's where your expertise here, and into policy and plant management. Those are serious responsibilities. And as I read, I get so excited. It's so many things. Your book, you wrote your book. It was released November 9th in 2019. And in this book, you're able to tell the story about all of these things that you know, inspired you and moved you. But you're very, very active. You know, it's like it's like a flow going into the purpose. So at Chevron, let me ask you. I was Wall Street in the 80s, and I've always worked, if I may share, in construction management, you know, worked with the Green Line as a systems person. So you're dealing with systems and facilities, and those were all male-dominated areas, you know, coming out the markets and stuff. And that was in the 80s, and it was crazy. So I can imagine what it was like when you started, because you started your journey in, what, 60s, 70s, 80s with Chevron? When did you actually start with Chevron?
It was October 1st, 1970. But prior to that, I worked 3 months in their central records. And I'll get into that.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
well,
I
asked my question, so I want you to just keep talking to us. share, and care with us here.
Okay. Well, after I graduated from college, we had Charles Everest, which is a civil rights leader there in Mississippi, and he was looking for an executive secretary. And I was a business major first. That was my degree in. And so I thought it was exciting to be working for him. But when I talked to my grandparents, they said, no, you cannot work for him because of the civil unrest going on in Mississippi. They said, you have to find another job. So then my Aunt Ruby, bless her heart, she's dead and gone, but she is the reason, one of the reasons why I took that job with Chevron. At the college, she said, well, just come and stay with me for the summer, and you can take a break since you've been in school all this time. Well, after 3 weeks being there in her home, she says, you have to get a job. And I said, excuse me? She said, yes, I cannot afford to pay for your incidentals. You need to get a job. And I was so upset with her. So I got a taxi, and I went to three different locations. I went to Chevron and interviewed there, and then I went to Inglewood Shipyard, where they build the huge ships there on the Gulf Coast. And then I went to a chemical plant that make fertilizer. And so a week later, I got called for all three jobs.
Oh my goodness.
So people were saying, well, Chevron doesn't hire too many minorities. You need to take that job. And I thought about it, so I decided, well, yes, I'll go ahead and take the job. But one of the things that they did in order to get me, I had first said that I just wanted to be a secretary because I had no intention of working for them. So that's why I took that little three-month job in Central Records. And when I passed the test and did the 170, then they said, well, whatever the other company going to pay you, we will pay you double. And I said, excuse me? Yes, we'll pay you twice the amount if you work here at Chevron. So that's when I said yes, because I started seeing dollar signs. And I said, this will be a great opportunity, you know. being a business major, you really don't get into everything that goes on chemically in a laboratory, because in college you have 2 years of light chemistry, and it's like the Bunsen burners, very light chemistry.
Okay.
But in Chevron Laboratory, it's much more detailed, a lot more. So you started out with a three-year training program, and every year you pass the test, which you had to take one once a week in order to stay in the program. You have to make at least 70, then they get rid of you. But I graduated from that program and was able to maintain as a lab technician.
Okay.
And everything I did, I prayed and I trust in God. And everything just escalated.
Oh, you know, this is like, I'm still trying to get it. But I have sometimes I look at it and I have to stop and take a breath. And then I have flashbacks. Yeah. I'm saying, wow, okay.
Yeah.
When people say hidden treasure, I say, no. Hidden diamond, and this diamond is shining. And, you know, the diamond, they use that diamond to cut glass. I said, and when she gets through these communities and these young adults with that experience and that skill and the love that she shares and the inspiration that she gives us, this is going to be all right. You talk about the chemistry lab. And I'm going to interject again. I wasn't too good. I wouldn't be able to work in the science lab. They barred me from all chemistry labs in any school that I went to. I did not like it was just too concentrated for me. I was very, very, had a lot of energy, so I was forced to take chemistry. Well, at first I was forced to take biology, okay? And so, you know, in the biology, got to dissect the frog, right? And they said, well, you're going to dissect this frog. And when I got through with that frog was like juice laying on. I told them I was going to dissect him. And when I got through, it was all juice laying down there. So I dissected the frog. So they said, well, she's not to take any biology classes anymore. She didn't fit. But I told them I didn't fit there, but they weren't listening to me. And I took all my required classes in the summer so that I could bypass that biology and science. So when I started, I was going to be a nurse. I started at Lilly. Was going to attend Lilly Jolly. And that chemistry book, I started looking at those numbers, and I said, well, I don't think so. And they was on the book. I said, I don't think so. It wasn't making any sense to me. I said, I don't think so. So the last test to be barred from any chemistry lab or any lab almost in the state of Texas was I was in there cooking up a concoction. You know, I was going to try it. And you know what? Everybody was leaving out of that lab coughing and running because I had mixed up something, Miss Harris, and I just kept saying, well, you know what? Isn't that smoke pretty? It was pink and blue and green. I don't know what I was getting ready to explode in there, but when I when I left out of that lab, I said, well, you know, chemistry is not your thing. So being a business major, having that knowledge and that encouragement, it baffles me. The young adults, they need to know. You know, we have a lot of scientific minded and engineering minded young adults, and they need to know, you know, about you, the things that you've done, and in order for them to. You work now in the communities now that you've retired, but all of that skill and knowledge is just running through the communities with the young adults, the Boys and Girls Club, the commissions that you sit on with, what is it? And this is after retirement. After you retired, you got more into the community, right?
Yes, I did. Yes, okay. I did. And one of the things that I wanted to say was that I wanted to make my mother proud. I mean, she and I had the best love relationship. I mean, she passed on this year, April the 19th.
Oh, okay.
And anything that she asked me to do, I did it. And I did it with pride and admiration. And she always said, you can do this. And she always told me, never let anyone see you sweat. And there were so many days I would go into the restroom and literally cry because of the treatment in my surrounding in that laboratory, being the only female, because they didn't even have a restroom for me that says women. They had, no, they did not. They had, it was just something for men only. And when I got there, they had to change everything around, you know, put female on there, no men allowed, and a lot of them resented that, you know, to have a lady, and that some of them probably felt that I got preferential treatment, but everything that I got, I earned, because I worked night and day, and if I didn't know anything about whatever was going on, I asked a question, but I volunteered for everything. It's amazing.
Okay.
And I just loved what I was doing because I felt like that this was an opportunity to show others. You can come from a small town in Mississippi, the most racial unjust place in the world, and you can rise on top. All you have to do is have the desire to work really hard, and you can do it. And that's what I set out to do. And my mother always said, keep a smile on your face. And that was important, even though I was quite upset inside. You know, I had to put on a different face. Okay, this is my happy face. And it worked. It worked because during my career, I got promotions after promotions. And it got to the point that if any of the other laboratories needed something, I was always called upon. I was either transferred to that facility or I was their quality control person, and they trusted me with 3 credit cards, and I had a maximum of $35,000 for all 3. And I could travel, but I just had to make sure that I kept my expense account up to date, all the records of what I spent money for. So it was a trust. Give it to Aline, and it will get done. And I love that. And I proved to them that this little girl could do it. She could do anything that any of the other employees did within the facility. And so when I'm moving on a little bit, but when I worked in the production laboratories, which you spoke about, that was the jet fuel, the gasolines, and all of that. We even had to fight fires. So when there was a fire within the refinery, I had to suit up in my fire gear and get on that truck, even though I couldn't do anything. But I had to be a part of the crew. So I would always get on the back of the hose, but I had to be there, you know. And then the opportunity came in the distribution center, and that's where they do testing raw materials. We had ships and things that came down to the wharf there in El Segundo with raw material from Africa and Russia and all these different locations, and they had the operators go out and pull a sample. And they were bringing in, and we had to test that sample. And we had, like, underground pipelines and so forth. But I was able, thanks to God, to maneuver and be a great part in their production and selling products and building that trust that they knew that anything I did, they can count on it. They never questioned it. And everything that we did, we had to sign our name to it so they could always come back and say 10 years later, 20 years, hey, Eileen Brown White did this test. So, yes. So they had records of everything. Yes.
You know, I'm just sitting over here with this big smile on my face saying yay, because, you know, it's just so remarkable to hear a legend, that's what you are, still, yeah, here, to go through that, to be the first African-American. Okay, Chevron, it was listed at that time. Was it Chevron Texaco? Is it still, did they blend that way, or was Chevron one and Texaco, or were they one just company, Chevron Texaco? Because I know Texaco moves out the south and Chevron, but they're still connected in. So when I speak of you, I say Chevron Texaco.
Yeah. Well, that's fine, because we used to be Standard Oil in the old days, like in the 1900s. Yes. And then they changed it to Chevron Texaco, and then they went back to Chevron. So it's like a marriage between the two, you know.
Yes. Well, Ms. Harris, you know, like I said, I'm kind of like, and everybody's probably laughing because, you know, they know I'm never stunned for words. But when I'm getting that good information, and because that's what we do here, we're about education, unification, and collaboration, and you're a perfect example of how all of that goes together. And when you say they took your word because that trust was there, that's very important.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
when it's very important, because, you know, like you as myself coming out of the South, and what we were taught is like your word is your bond. That's all you have. So if you can't keep that, you have nothing to keep. So people say, you know, Miss Linda, you get crazy sometimes. I say, yeah, my word is my bond. And if I'm going to come, when I was a little girl, and I said, I'm going to come beat you up at 3 o'clock, okay, I'll be there. But if I saw that I wasn't going to be there at 3, I called back and said, I'll be there at 3:15, but I'm still coming. Okay. You never let anybody know your time frame. I said, no, I said I was going to be there, and I'm going to be there. So that's your word is what it is. Trust is very, very important. Well, not to take you off the thing after retirement, because you do so much for the communities. I mean, the Boys and Girls Clubs, as I stated, Parks and Recreation. My introduction to you was from another Brown, Miss Lena Brown, being a part of the National Congress of Black Women, and holding the seat there as a board member, but also yet working throughout the communities and with the Carson Cultural Arts Commission. That's right up my alley. And what really excites me is the California Association of Parks and Recreation Commissioners, which entails many, many cities. I think it read 13 cities in Southern California. Those are powerful professional women. That our young adults and a lot of adults don't know that exist. Because, like I said, we're all hidden, but these diamonds are shining out here. And I tell the young adults, they're listening, put on your tennis shoes and start walking in the footsteps of this lady, because what you're doing is you like you say, your mother say, play the game. You got to play the game.
Yeah.
My problem, I could never play the game, okay? But it is a game. I mean, I would get you. I just wasn't bending over there. And as a matter of fact, I had a manager. I was with the Postal Service, and he really liked me, and I would be applying for positions and stuff. And he said, Linda, you don't want that. He said, because you're not going to play that game. And he already knew, okay? So I wouldn't apply for that, because he knew that it was going to be some problems up in there. And because he knew Linda is not going to play your game. But I kind of like listen to yourself. And, you know, different types going in. I applied for the Postmaster's Advisory Board. I beat out all the supervisors. They was mad. They were upset.
Yeah.
They were upset because who is this coming in here? I just told them I knew how to write a better beg letter than them, because I had come from the corporate arena. So I had been out to come back in. I didn't start there. I came from the corporate world. So you know the corporate world, you're going to learn really, really quick. So when you see your mom say smile, and that smile, and you still have a beautiful smile. You're a beautiful lady,
but your smile,
it gets you in trouble sometimes, because when you smile, a lot of people think you're crazy. You're stupid, okay? But you want to keep that smile on your face. Sometimes you got to put on that, what kind of face is that? I call it, I can't get it. I'm trying to get there. It's a face. I call
face.
It what did
happy
you say?
Happy face.
Yes.
Happy face.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
We wear many, many masks, but you are an inspiration. Yeah. I was so glad to get the introduction from Miss Lena Brown. I say, why all these Browns in my life? I have many, many people in my life with the name Brown.
Yeah.
And so that just lets me know something. But she said, Linda, I says, okay. And to meet you, and then to start reading, and the book is online. What is it? www.arlenebrownharris.com? That's your website?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
www.arlenebrownharris.com. You can go on there and get that information. And now, I know there's a big event coming up, I don't know if it's private or public, but you guys are very, very busy, and this is through your organization, and through the National Congress of Black Women. Is that the event that's happening?
Yes, on Sunday, we'll be celebrating the 36th Annual Award Ceremony, and we have a special guest with Cynthia Marshall. She is the CEO of the Dallas Madrid, and they can go on the website and order a ticket. It's $60. But Ms. Shane, I am going to make sure that I give you a complimentary ticket so you can watch our program. And we have the Good Brothers Award, so we have some very good guests on the show. And it's all about community empowerment. We have some of the mayors of New York and other areas that's going to be on there, Stacey Abrams. So I can send you the website where people can go on and they can order a ticket or look at some of the wonderful things that we're doing in the community. Yes.
Could you, because once we complete, I always write a little summary. Do you have the website now? So as I'm summarizing, I can just post it out so they'll have it right then. But if it's too much trouble, I can do it later. Which would you prefer?
Yeah, while you're talking, I will get the number for you.
Okay.
I will get the website so you'll be able to let people know.
Okay.
We want as many people as possible to enjoy the program.
Well, it's going
to
be
so
something.
So you can continue, and I will get it for you.
what I'm going to do, because, you know, you're going here. What I'll do, if you don't mind, I'll just play a little bit of something to give you a little break, and then we can come back in if that's okay with you.
That would be perfect.
Okay,
thank you.
Let me just put something on, and then we'll come back in.
Okay, it's www.national, which is NATIONAL, Congress, CONGRESS, B as in boy, W as in white, .org.
Okay. Let me repeat it back. It's National Congress BW.org. And that's the website, and on that website they can go in and get the information, find out what the event is going to be about, get tickets, and join in. I cannot wait. I think we talked about this, and, you know, I'm just going, we go virtual and everything. I remember the first thing I asked you, I said, Ms. Harris, do I have to say anything? And you said, no, I was so happy. Okay, I was so happy. Because I said, am I going to have to talk or anything of that nature? I just want to be a part of it to see what's happening. So I'm going to move into the community, because after your retirement and all of these things and all of these boards that you're a member of, but I see that the Boys and Girls Clubs and all the awards that you have won, you know, Women of the Year for the 64th Assembly, right? Those are very great accomplishments. And as I mature and as I move through the community, I'm seeing that those are not easy things to get, okay? So when you slide into those slots, you're doing something here for the community. Yes.
That's true. That is so true. And I just really enjoy it, because I always said once I retire from Chevron, I was going to get involved in the community and give back to others. And I don't know, I just really get charged when I do that. I get so excited when I know that I'm doing something to help someone else, because I know how difficult it was for me growing up, and people always extended an olive branch to me. Even being growing up in Mississippi, someone was always there helping me, and I know God had a lot to do with that. So that's why I said, just having that faith and believing that you can do it. That's the main thing. And any time that you fail, you have to get up. And you have to keep trying. And you can't be embarrassed. You just have to do it. And I'm just so grateful. I keep talking about my mother, because I would not be here today, because there were so many times I was ready to throw in the towel. And she said, no, you cannot. I will not let you do it. You have to do it. And once I got going, then I just always think about her. This is something she wants me to do. I should be doing this. And that's how I got motivated a lot and just, like I said, kept my faith in God. So,
kept your faith in God and listen to Mother. And this is such a good thing because when we get that clear directives and when we listen and we know that what we're hearing is putting us on the right track, and I will share with you at a later date. I returned back to school. I got my degrees because my mother wasn't able to get hers. And I told her that I have gotten what you were denied. And it made me feel so good. But she was my fuel. You know, she was my fuel to keep me going because I was determined to get that done. That was on my list. But she was the fuel. And as your mom... mine was not with me, you know, but they never go anywhere. But it is such a beautiful thing to be able to take what you have and to pay it forward. It's about paying it forward. Some of the young adults, they accept it, but then we all have to give because some people do not know how to receive because they've never gotten anything. So they don't recognize it when it comes to them. So it's up to us that understand that, I feel, and especially with the young adults, to just keep on pushing. Just do the best that you can. You can't ever give up on them. You can't give up on yourself. You can't give up on anything, period. So that word never give up is something that I actually live by. But then, you know, I am just speechless over here because I have all the questions and persons are saying, no, you say the black first African American scientist. I said, yeah, you just thought you heard about the Hidden Treasure movies and NASA, huh? I said, I said, there's a lot going on out here.
That's right. That is so true.
You know, and that is what we're about. And at this particular time, you know, we have to learn the history. And speaking, you, like you said, you asked, you volunteered, you were nosy. Yes. So you have to be nosy. Yes.
That's right.
You say, let me see what's going on around this corner. Okay. You must be. You must be nosy, so volunteering and mentioning volunteering. I know you work with a lot of the young adults, the Boys and Girls Club, but with the voting coming up now, the election, I'm telling the young adults to get out there and join. I'll go volunteer, you know, with the polls or whatever, because nothing can be changed unless you know what to change, and everything is done through policy and legislation. And you have to learn the game. It's all a game. And you have to learn how to play it. And then you decide. I tell people, you know, I'm a real character, so I like to put it out there. You know, I say, well, look, I don't mind playing on the team, but I need to know what y'all playing. Is it football? Is it basketball? Is it baseball? I'm going to suit up, okay? But I need to know what suit to put on. And that determination and that option is up to me. You know, if I'm willing to get in there and I'm willing to join the team, then let's do it. But when they make me angry, I have to let them know that my choice of sport is not football, baseball, basketball. I say my choice of sport is rugby. And then they look like, ooh. Yeah, that's right. You know about that seven-man front that moves out there? I said, I like rugby. Because once you go on that track, it's like we come to win, okay?
That's right. That is so true.
Yeah, we come to win. And so it is like my honor, my pleasure to have you here. We want you to come back again. And to stay involved and you know, to care and share with us because, you know, you are a remarkable example of determination and never giving up. And like you said, made me feel good to come from a little old town and to do all of it. Okay? And at the time you were doing it. You didn't even have a restroom. You know, I love it. I will always remember this conversation.
Yeah.
And I hope that, the person, they didn't have a restroom. They was angry at you, but you just kept on smiling. You never let them see you sweat. And you became trusted. And that's the most important thing. There has to be trust there.
That's right.
What
so
remarkable.
True.
So, Eileen, now, is there going to be a second book to come out? Because, you know, when I get through with this one, I want to read another one.
Yes, I'm going to be working on something else. I said I needed to go into more detail than that one, because there was a lot more, you know, of discrimination and things that I had to do. And just let you know, when I had my first child in 1976, they didn't even have any guidelines, a policy for a female maternity leave. So I helped them write the policy because I was able to stay off as long as I wanted to because they didn't have guidelines. So just to say, I breastfed my first child for 6 months and my job was held open because there was nothing in their policy that said how long I could stay off. So I helped them do a lot of things for women.
Wow.
And that's 1976.
So you went past change agent. You are what we consider the change maker. See, there's a difference.
That's true.
You were the change maker. And I said, I'm so glad that you're here to join us for Waking Up with Linda McShann, because we talk about this all the time. Well, listeners, guess what? You got the real deal here. You're hearing it firsthand. You're not reading about it. You didn't have to think about it. You didn't have to wonder about it. Get your pencil and papers out to take down the website, and you have for the book that's online, and that book is under www.EileenBrownHarris.com. That's the web for that. And this great event that is coming up on Sunday that you don't want to miss. It's going to be pretty darn exciting. That is through the National Congress of Black Women. And this is the Los Angeles chapter that I'm connecting, but you're national, and on that, this organization is under Dr. E. Faye Williams, which is president and CEO, and Eileen Brown Harris, your chair, and my other friend Lena Brown is chair, and Ms. Gwen Newman, national board chair. So that's a lot of work, that's a lot of thought, that's a lot of collaboration, that's a lot of education there, and that's a lot of unification. So I think that I'm going to get a gold star today, because I have brought a person on to share, to put that blend there. So now we really, really understand the importance of education. We stress unification and the importance of collaboration, because you can't do anything by yourself, period.
Yes.
And on that note, I would like to ask you, and we're going to ask you to come back. And I know you're busy.
Thank you.
I know you've had a busy day, but is there your last words of advice you would like to leave them, and so that they can start blinking like the diamond that you are?
Yes, I have this quote by Everett Hale, and it says, "I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do something that I can do."
Whoa.
Thank you.
And that was Edward. Please let me get Edward.
Edward Everett, E-V-E-R-E-T-T, last name Hale, H-A-L-E.
Oh, my goodness. I'm only one, but I wasn't writing, but I'll go back through it. And if it's okay with you, I'm going to put that in the summary, because for those, I don't like to write a lot, because I like people to listen And I'm not what you call one of those bloggers, so I'll give them some tease out there because they need to listen and hear every word. If I start writing it, then I become the newspaper, and I'm not going to do that. So I will put his quote out there at the end, and that'll grab, put some interest there. But I see my board is lit up over here, and persons are calling in. And the next time you come on, we'll pre-plan it. And if there are those who want to come in that you would like to come in, they can dial in, and then we can have that conversation. Because if that's something, you think about it however you want to do it. I'm here to service you. But I will not, if I don't recognize the number, I don't go in. But we'll set it up. So if you have, and it can hold up to 10 people. So if you got 8 people that want to get in and chime in, the organization, any way you want to do it, just let me know. I'm here for you.
I'll be happy to come back, and you can open it up to your audience. And I have learned I can take any question, and, you know, I can answer anything based on my experiences. So it would be my pleasure to come back again and speak with whoever have something that they need to know.
But what I'd like to do is get some young adults. I'd like to get some of these STEM students, okay? The young adults, because that would be very, very helpful for them. But I'll talk with you on it, and I'll speak with some professors and see if we can make this happen.
Great.
Because as I was saying today, once when you determine your determination changes, everything else will begin to move to the direction you desire. So that is what I desire, and I'm determined that I have good fuel over here. Listeners, this was Mrs. Eileen Brown-Harris, Chevron's first African-American scientist, and she just wasn't in there stacking test tubes. She was actually at the lab. In the lab, y'all, checking out the oil and all of that other stuff. You know, she wasn't in the mail room. She wasn't anywhere. And what was that score before I let you go when you took your test? Your test score was what?
170. Whoa. 170.
Okay. So that's something good to know. And I'm going to close it out with Miss Harris's mother's quote. You have heard her, and that quote is, and before I do that, I want to let you know, I hope she's inspired you because she's an inspiration to everyone whose life she touches, and I know that she's touched yours this evening. But her mother's quote was, reach for the sky, and whatever you achieve, it will not be taken from you. Again, I'm going to say this, reach for the sky, and whatever you achieve will not be taken away from you. Ms. Harris, thank you so much. Have a lovely evening. I'll get this out, and I'll give you a call after I post out. We love you, and you made me so happy here.
Thank you, and it was my pleasure being on your show, Ms. Shane. Thank you.
All righty, thank you. Have a good one. I'm going to play this song for you and take us on out.
Okay.
your mind is sure that I'll be loving you always. Now, I can't reveal the mystery of tomorrow, but in passing, we'll grow older every day. Just as all that's born is new, you know what I say. Join.